So in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 42, and I promise we will connect it shortly to Leviticus chapter 15. Those of you that read that, you already know where I'm going with this if you know this Bible story. And thank God for those of you that have read your Bible. And look, if you've never read your Bible before and you're just starting out reading your Bible, thank God for that. Amen. There is no right way or wrong way to start out. Just start reading your Bible. Just start reading your Bible. Get in the Word of God and get something out of the Word of God. There's so much in there for you that the Lord will give you and teach you. We're going to start reading in verse number 42 of Luke chapter number 8. For he had only one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you, Lord, that we have the inspired, inerrant Word of God in front of us, and that we are able to read and to understand. Thank you for, Lord, giving us understanding and giving us spiritual discernment. Lord, I pray that if there be someone in this congregation that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, they are not whole today. Lord, I pray that today before they leave, they would get what this woman got, and they would find comfort and healing and hope and help from you, Lord. You would save them, Lord. I thank you, God, that you reach out to people in their condition and how they are. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able to intervene and help in every situation that we have in our life. Lord, now bless us and help us today. Give us what we stand in need of. Forgive me, Father, my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. This story is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And this Bible story is probably one of the most heart-touching stories in the Word of God. And this woman's identity, her name, is lost to history, at least for us, although I believe that it's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But to us, we don't know who she was. We don't know what she looked like. We don't know anything about her past. We don't know, we only know a little bit about her future, and that's that she went in peace and that she had comfort the rest of her life because Jesus had made her whole. And in this story, rather outside this story, her story is peripheral. It's in the story of one plea of faith of a man named Jairus who had come to Jesus, and he had asked Jesus to come and heal his daughter who was 12 years old, and she lay and what we would call actively dying. She was about to die. She was close to death. And the story goes on to say that she does die. And of course, you guys know how that Jesus works that incredible miracle. And that's not what I'm preaching on this morning, although we could. But while Jesus is answering one plea of faith, another request by faith touches him along the way. And so as Jesus is making his way down the road because of one person's request by faith, another request of faith comes in, although this one is slightly less public. Now, Jairus was a ruler of the people there, and so because of Jairus' status, an incredible thing happened here. The Bible says that Jairus bowed himself down at the feet of Jesus. And he put his whole social status on the line by bowing to Jesus and having faith that Jesus would heal him. But this woman, nobody knew or wasn't supposed to know that she was even in town. And so I would like to look at her story today and see what the Lord can teach us from that. Amen. The first thing I want you to notice with me in verse number 43 is that this woman is hopeless and considered unclean. The Bible says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Now, I just want to say, I think it's, maybe I view it as a coincidence. I don't know if the Lord put it in here for a specific reason. If you study it out and find out, then great, you can let me know, but I don't know the answer to this. I do think it's interesting that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and that this lady had had an issue of blood for 12 years. I'm not sure that those two are connected, but I do think it's rather interesting that the number 12 is there together. I don't know. Maybe that I should have done a timeout there. I don't know. But I see in this story a woman who is hopeless and considered unclean. Now, she had been in this state having this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, we don't exactly know what the issue of blood is. Now, we've studied it, and some of you studied it, some of you read yesterday in Leviticus 15. We do know that this was an issue of blood that was happening for an extended period of time. 12 years is an extremely long time for anyone to suffer with any infirmity. And so we read in verse 43 that she had this issue of blood 12 years. Well, what does that have to do, preacher, with the Levitical law in the book of Leviticus? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, the law stated what and how she should be treated. The law stated what should happen to her and what should go on in her life because of something that was out of her control. Now, I'm just going to read you verse number 25, but you can go back and read verses 19 through 31 and read the whole bit of the Levitical law and what should happen there. And by the way, guys, we're not completely free from the law. We had some things in there that God wrote to us in Leviticus 15 too. Amen? But there's a clear distinction made here, and it even talks about the practices between a man and a woman. I'll leave that there. But in verse number 25, Leviticus 15, the Bible says, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation," I'd say 12 years was sufficient to say this was excessive. "Or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, and she shall be unclean." She wasn't even supposed to be in town, or let alone around any religious figure or a religious place. She wasn't supposed to be there according to the law. Some commentators even believe that because of this extended illness that she may have even had to give up her marriage just because she had this infirmity that she could not control. Can you imagine that? The one man that you're supposed to be able to trust, the one man that you stand beside and say the vows with and you are never supposed to part, but because of this infirmity inside of your body that is beyond your control, now you have to give that up. Now, I'm not sure that I completely agree with that thought process, but it is a possibility. And the people that we read about in the Pharisaical times lived to the letter of the law, or at least they tried to live to the letter of the law and show everybody how perfect and how good they were, but really they weren't. They were ravenous wolves, and they were whited sepulchers, and they were dishes full of dead men's bones, and yet they showed themselves as being pure and clean and righteous and holy, when in actuality there was tons of turmoil going on inside of them. And so this lady had that on her shoulders. She was hopeless and unclean. The law had stated that she couldn't come into town. She couldn't go to church. Can you imagine not being allowed? Now, it's one thing saying I'm not able to go to church because I have a sickness. But could you imagine not being allowed to come into church simply because you're sick? Simply because you have something. And not only is it a sickness, but it's a private sickness. It's not something that you discuss with everybody. It's not something that you're open about. It's not something that you open up regularly about. And believe you me, every one of us in here has got something like that. I know that because we're sinful men and women. And so this lady is viewed as unclean by the people, by the religious elites, and she in herself is hopeless. The Bible says that she had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any. You imagine that? You're dealing with this infirmity. You have this trouble. You have this problem going on inside of you. You have lost nearly everything, and every time that you make a little bit of money, you just want to be healed. You just want to be whole. You just want to be right. Because, see, when you get sick, and you guys know this, you don't want to remain sick. You just want to be okay. You just want to be better. You just want to feel like you felt before. You just want to have the health that you had before. You guys know that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And so here is this lady who's considered unclean. She has spent all that she had, and anytime she got any little bit of money, she would run to the doctor. Maybe she heard about a new doctor. Maybe she heard about a doctor who was in Nazareth. And so she went over to Nazareth, and that doctor said, "Well, I see your problem. Thank you for your confidence in me. Unfortunately, ma'am, I'm not able to help you." Or maybe she heard about a doctor in Bethlehem, and she went down there to Bethlehem, and that doctor in Bethlehem, maybe he'd done some crazy things and tried some crazy tactics, and for 6 months she gave her life to him and did what he asked and took the medicine or the herbs that he asked, and nothing changed. I don't know how many doctors this lady went to. I don't know how many times she was simply told, "I'm sorry, I just can't help you." But I know that this woman had come to the end of hope. And she had come to a point where she had spent all that she had. Doctor after doctor had tried and nothing had helped. She had at some time in her life been full and what she thought was complete, but now she was empty and needing more than what she could produce on her own. So this is her hopeless and unclean condition that she was in. Galatians 3 and verse number 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." There's a lot more. Can I read that verse again? Because I'm not really sure that sunk into you, what I just read. Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." This lady had tried everything under the law. She had done all that she possibly could, and absolutely nothing changed her situation. But that law was her schoolmaster. The next thing I want you to notice is that this lady had faith. In verse number 44, the Bible says that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood stanched. Now, remember in verse number 42, and it's the whole reason why I read verse number 42, is that the latter part of it says, "As he went, the people thronged him." Now, you ever been in a big crowd of people? Not long ago, Tara and I went to an event, and there were thousands of people there, and we were walking around, and man, we all had to file down, You're in a parking lot, you're good. You know, you're good to go. But we all had to file down and to go through these two doors. And so we're walking in, and the closer we got, the more compact it got and the more uncomfortable I got. And if you know anything about my wife, she is not as people-y as me. And so she would get up closer to me, and there'd be somebody on the other side that wanted to be even more close. And it was super uncomfortable. And someone could have, they could have picked my pocket. They could have tripped me, and I wouldn't have known who it was. We were in such a dense crowd of people that there was absolutely no way to tell who bumped into who touched who, you know, tripped who, or whatever happened. There was absolutely no way that that's what's going on here, because all of these people had heard about Jesus. And all of these people wanted to see the one that had fed the 5,000 just a few chapters before. All of these people wanted to see the man that had already performed great miracles at the marriage of Cana, and how he had turned the water into wine. They just wanted to get a glimpse of him. Kind of like you and I around people that are famous. We just want to see them. I don't know why. If they're not on TV, that makeup don't make them look pretty. You cake it on as much as you want to, it don't change. All that stuff, the stuff you see on TV, social media, that's what it is. It's not real life. Let me get back to the message. Quit chasing that rabbit. And so this lady, in all of these people that were thronging Jesus and bumping into Jesus and just seeing Jesus and seeing the disciples, this woman slipped up behind him and just, I believe, with the tip of her finger, reached out and touched the border of his garment. Now, his garment would have been long. You guys know that they gambled for that, the coat that was woven from the top down. And so that was very likely what Jesus was wearing. Would have been coat ankle length. Past the knees, it would have been rather long. Do you understand what was going on here? This lady had to change her posture. She had to get mighty low as he walked by to reach out and just touch the border of his garment. But when she did, it so arrested the attention of Jesus that even in the throng of people around him, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" He didn't say, "He touched me." Who touched me? Because he didn't know. He said, "Who touched me?" Because he's looking for a public profession. Time in. And so here is this little lady, and her posture changes. Her attitude changes. Who had been full, she is now has faith enough to get down low below the crowd, to get down lower than everybody else around her, and just reach out and touch just the border of his garment. And she said within herself, "If I can just touch the border of his garment, I'll be made whole." This little lady had greater faith than many of the other Bible characters that you've ever read about. Such great faith caused Jesus to stop when he was on the way to heal someone else. This faith that she had was enough for her to be healed. Do you know why? Romans 10 and verse number 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Okay, preacher, what does that have to do with this story? Do you realize how she was brought up? She was taught all the stories in the Word of God. It was her duty to memorize the Old Testament so that she could be right. This lady knew more scripture than you and I will have in our lifetime. It is very likely that this lady was very well versed in the Old Testament. Now, my little old mind goes to wondering. And I got to thinking about, well, where in the Old Testament did somebody just touch something and they get healed? And I thought about in 2 Kings chapter number 13, where Elisha, who was a dead prophet, had been buried so long that his bones were already showing in the ground, and they was having a funeral for a man, and this army come running over the hill. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. You can go read it in 2 Kings 13. But this army come riding over the hill, and the pallbearers that day said, "Y'all see what I see?" And they said, "Yes, sir." You know what they did with that man? They chunked him in the hole. They messed up totally on funeral etiquette. Because this army was rushing down there to him, and they threw that man into the hole, and as soon as that dead man touched the bones of Elisha, the Bible says that he revived and he come up out of that hole. You imagine watching that? Here's the guy that just died, was dead, and you're carrying him down there to the grave. You see the army, you chunk him in the hole, you're running away, and you look behind you, and here comes the dead man about to pass you. Yeah. That'll make a believer out of you, won't it? I don't know what happened. And that dead man might have said, I ain't got to worry about y'all. I just got to outrun you. Amen. The man came back to life by simply touching the bones of a prophet. Now think about that. She knew in her mind the Old Testament and what had happened and how God had miraculously raised that man from the dead through touching the bones of a dead prophet. I wonder, Brother Billy, if she might have said, "That man was raised from the dead just by touching the bones of one of God's prophets. What if I'm able to just get the hem of a garment of the Son of God?"
Yeah.
She was made whole. But had she not had faith, had she not believed what she had read before, had she not been known or had not known the Word of God, she wouldn't have had the faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus even acknowledged her touch in verses 45 through 46. Let me say this, and I didn't do this as a point on its own, but I want to say this. There will never be a time in your life that you will touch Jesus in faith that He will not acknowledge and reward that faith. He told us that there are two or more gathered in His name, touching anything, that it would happen. He said that if we had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could look at a mountain and say, "Be removed into the midst of the sea," and that the mountain would have to get up and go into the midst of the sea. All of these things come from having great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and His ability, not our power, not our ability. This lady had faith, and Jesus acknowledged that touch of faith. She reached out and touched the hem of His garment. And He told her in verse number 4, He told the people standing around, "Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." That virtue is the power and the life of Christ. Now, He doesn't say this sadly. He's not remiss that He's been able to heal somebody. There's never a time in the Word of God that Jesus is disappointed because the Father gets glory from somebody being healed. Jesus would rather God get glory than Him get glory. And so this lady gets healed, and virtue goes out of him. And then verse 47 comes along. And she gives a public profession. Watch this, what she says. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him." Now, why was she trembling? She wasn't supposed to be in town, y'all. Why was she worried about what was going on around her? Because the Levitical law said you're unclean. The law said that you don't deserve to be here. The law says you're not worthy to be in the presence of so great a person. But the law is our schoolmaster. It's our teacher that brings us to Christ. Y'all getting it now? And that law that said she was unworthy was the same law that brought her to the point of desperation. That word of God that she had heard all her life was what inspired the faith in her heart to reach out and to touch the hem of the garment of the Savior. And because all this happened, now I believe that before Jesus says it, she was whole. Because the blood, the issue of the blood, can you imagine that? Now she's dealing with this pain. She has felt that all her life. She is familiar, so familiar after 12 years that it would probably be just like breathing. It's just something that happens. Even though it causes me pain, even though it's sorrowful, it's just part of my life. It's probably what this lady was dealing with after 12 years. And immediately that stops. Immediately a change takes place. Immediately healing comes. And immediately she's right and whole. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. You remember, this was a private issue. This was not something that she wanted to tell everybody about. She wasn't supposed to be there. Matthew 10:32, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also, or will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Psalm 32 and verse number 5, David the psalmist here said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. This lady gave this public profession of not only what Jesus had done for her, but what she had been dealing with, and how she was healed immediately. Can you imagine what would happen in churches all across America if people got honest about the sins they deal with? Confess your faults one to another. And could you imagine if we could confess our confidence, in confidence, to our Christian brothers and sisters, knowing that they weren't going to take that information that we give them and ruin our lives with it? Y'all okay? This woman knew this lady. This woman knew what she had done. She knew who she was. She knew what she was dealing with. She knew what she had spent. She knew what her problem was. And she opened it up. She told everybody what was going on and how that Jesus had healed her. See, it wasn't the sin that she was worried about. It was the fact that Jesus had changed her life. So she made this public profession. And upon that public profession, an incredible thing happens here in Scripture. It is found one time, and you're reading it. Jesus speaks to her. And you know what he says? Daughter. It was just a woman, but now she's a daughter. Ladies, I love you. Y'all are wonderful. But there is one female in this room that holds the title daughter for me. One. And it's a whole different relationship.
Yes, sir.
Because she's my daughter. Jesus forgave her, healed her, and established a relationship between him and her. And he called her daughter. She's a child of the Most High God. She was not only born physically, she was born spiritually. She became a daughter of Christ the King. She didn't have to go through any red tape. The Bible speaks, and I don't think that maybe I do have it written down here in my notes, but the Bible tells us about that we don't have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It went from being a woman who was unclean and hopeless and unable to go anywhere or do anything according to the law, to a relationship established with the only begotten Son of God simply by faith. And she went away comforted and justified. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I wonder how many... This lady was an outcast. She wasn't supposed to be there. She got healed that day. And I wonder how many other little ladies she went to and told them about her encounter with Jesus. I wonder how many of them begin to hear the Word of God and hear this lady's testimony. And like in John chapter number 4, because of one little lady's testimony, the whole town got turned upside down. Because this little lady's life had been changed. Jesus had done exceeding abundantly above all that she even asked or thought. She thought, I'm just going to get a little bit of healing. And Jesus changed her whole world. Comforted her, justified her. And she went away that day completely different than what she was before. Woman that had an issue of blood, and that's what she's known as in Scripture, or to be known as this woman who is a daughter of the King, a child of God, and a lady who's made whole. So what's the practical application here, preacher? You can be made whole too through the power of Jesus and His virtue. And if you will come to Him in faith, He will change your life. Father, in Jesus' holy name, you've heard this message. You know, Lord, what I needed. You know what our church needed. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be glorified in the remainder of this service. Lord, if there be someone in our church building today or maybe watching online, whatever it may be, Lord, you've touched their heart. I pray, God, that right where they are, or if they're here in the building, they'd come to the altar, Lord, whatever, they would get right with you. Maybe there's some in here, Lord, that have a hopeless situation. God, let them know if they'll just touch you in faith, you will give them hope. And they can be a son or a daughter. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom and your power. Would you move in this invitation time? In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us this morning?